I want to be instructional tonight. This is a message that I pray is really probably going to be a little bit more of a Bible study. I very rarely do something like this, but it's just been on my heart and mind for some time. And I want to deal with a topic tonight, a subject tonight. So if you would open the precious Word of God tonight to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture. I have a lot of things down here on this paper, a lot of Scripture, and probably for sake of time, I won't have you turn to all of it, but I'm going to ask you to write them all down. Of course, years ago, before internet, before those type of things, you'd have to go through a concordance and look up every time a word was used, but now you can pretty much just put that thing in the internet, and man, it'll do the search for you and bring up all the verses with a word. It's so much easier today than just, you know, maybe going through a concordance. And so I want to deal with a subject tonight that I pray will be helpful to all of us here tonight. Isaiah chapter number 14, and let's begin reading with verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And let's look at this subject and just deal with this topic for tonight. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And we're going to deal with the subject tonight, and you know, these big long words, I'd encourage you to take Bible doctrines. You don't need to know the words, but there is a doctrine of sin, and we call it the fancy word for that, sin of hamartiology. It's basically sin, doctrine of sin. What do we believe about sin? We just read tonight the origin of sin, where it all began, where it all started. All of our problems began and started right here, even before man was created. We find the sin of pride in heaven. We see that we notice here in verse number 12, God very clearly says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And then he gave us the reason why, because the devil said five times in his heart, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. By the way, he said these things in his heart, but he showed them with his actions. So I want to deal this evening on the flip side of that. And I don't want to deal with the subject of pride. I mean, I do want to deal with the subject of pride, but I want to deal with the flip side of this struggle, this origin of sin. And by the way, just quickly, let's do this. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, and you'll find in this passage of Scripture kind of a parallel of talking about the fall of Satan. And I want you to, you can do this study later, but we understand that God had set Satan in a place of authority. The Bible here very clearly says that his heart was lifted up in verse 17 because of his beauty. The devil was lifted up because of his beauty. Pride welled up in his heart and welled up in his being because of his beauty. Verse 17, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Then God said, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And so we understand that this sin, the origin of sin, is rooted in pride. We deal with it today. I would say this is our greatest enemy as a human being. If this was the very sin that was originated the fall of Satan, because he said, I will, I will, I will. He said in his heart, he was lifted up by different reasons, his position, his beauty, his talents, his authority that God gave him. He became entitled. Now listen to me, church. He became entitled. And God had to deal with him. and God cast him down. And I want you to know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still deals with pride that way. He casts us down. And so this is a very stark, serious subject that we're dealing with tonight. And you say, Pastor, why are you so passionate about it? Because I'm dealing with it. 90% of the time, if we're dealing with problems, it's because of this in people's hearts and in my own heart. If we're going to have troubles in this church, it's going to originate with this issue, pride. We get welled up in our hearts, and I'll be honest, I would wish all of us would stay like we were when we just got saved. We knew we needed God. We knew we didn't have all the answers. We hadn't become reformed in everything that we know. We've been at this thing a long time now, and I'm okay. I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to do this. And we start becoming our own little gods and picking what we will and won't do. Dangerous. Dangerous. Dangerous stuff. And it has a lasting effect, not only on my life, your life, personal lives, our family's lives, but I preached on Wednesday night. Get the CD. When people live a life of not being genuine and being lifted up in their own pride, the Bible says we blaspheme the name of God. We become a reproach to the people that we should be a blessing to. So we think about this subject of pride. What is the flip side of that? What is God's answer to casting us down? What is the answer to combating this sin that is so easily can beset us and that we all struggle with? What is the flip side of that? What is the answer? What is the prescription? Very simple. Humility. Now, this isn't going to win any sermon awards, but it could save some homes. It could save some relationships. It can save some broken dreams, broken lives, broken hearts. This is serious. Very serious. And I want you to know, humility does not come natural for us. It's not our first response. That's not our first response to teach our children. And we have failed there. See, now we're living in 2019, and our society has been chipped at. It's been chipped away. Little by little, just little. The world's philosophy getting in Christians' homes and just taking the world's philosophy and not counteracting it with God's word. And what we start doing is we start worrying more about that child's happiness than we start worrying about that child's future. What's that all about? We've read things about all this stuff in the news. Why do these people went out and cheated and lied and did all of this scandal? I'll tell you what's pride. Now, but let's get down to the base of that thing. Here's where it was. Now look, we can sit there and we can cast our stones at all these people that got arrested and they're in trouble for doing the children. But let me tell you something. We're all guilty. Because at that very moment, I'm going to tell every parent here in just a second. It's hard when your little girl, it's hard when your little boy comes up to you and they're crying and they want something and they want it bad and everybody else is doing it. It's hard for the parents to look at them and say no. But you better. You better. So I'm going to be honest with you. Those mothers, more than likely, all they wanted was to make sure their children got what they wanted. And by the way, we live in that day today where we all want our way, don't we? So I'm telling you, church, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you better fight it right here, and you better fight it every day because it will come to you because our normal, no child's natural tendency is to be humble. That's not their tendency. Their tendency is the same as our tendency. It's to look out for uno, number 10, and I want what I want, and I'm going to get what I want without any cost. Don't care what it costs. Don't care who we have to stomp on. It's all about me. What is that? Pride. where did it all start? How it all started. That's the name of the message tonight. How did it all start? How did this thing start? It started because there was a being that God created and gave them a place, a position, and power, and he usurped his authority. He did not abase himself. He lifted himself up, and he said, I, five times. But I'm thankful. In Ezekiel chapter 28, God says, I will six times. God trumped him. By the way, that's how God deals with the sin of pride. So let me just give you some little principles along with some passages of scripture to write down, put them in the tablets of your heart, write them down on paper and look them over later. A study on humility. Number one, it's a simple. The way up is down. Amen. Write it down. I want every child to listen to me. If you want to be successful, then humble yourself. Grandparents, if you want your grandchildren to be lifted up, you want them to be up, you want them to be lifted up, you want the hand of God on their life, if you want them to be special, then teach them, train them, and continually, aggressively train them. They must remain humble. You'll have to do it every day. You'll have to do it many times a day. You'll have to look for reasons, look for opportunities, because they will arise, they will present themselves, and you better learn to teach, train, and help your children and grandchildren and all these children that walk through these doors and we have an opportunity to teach them and train them. We better be aggressively helping them if they want to go up, if they want to be successful, if they want to be a blessing. They must come down. They must abase themselves. Simple. Write it down. James 4:10. James 4:10. Here it is now. This is God's prescription. This is not mine. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And notice this. And he shall lift you up. And he shall lift you up. And he shall lift you up. Now look, here's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to lift ourselves up. Listen to me. All these people we heard about in the news got in trouble. That, you know all they were trying to do? They were trying their way to lift their children up. I got a better way. Teach that child to be humble and God will lift them up. But see, we don't. He ain't getting a fair shake. Wait a minute. God knows they might not need to get a fair shake when they're six. They might not need to get a fair shake when they're 13. But God's going to work all that out, and in time, he'll lift them up. He might not want them to have a fair shake at 10 because it's going to teach them how to be a man or a woman at 30. But oh, our way's better. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to go down there and fight for them kids. I'll tell you right now, I ain't going to. Wait a minute. What are we trying to do? Lift them up. I tell you this, write it down. You want your children to be special? Quit treating them special. If you want them to be special, quit treating them special. Because I'm going to tell you, when you treat them special, you spoil them. Boy, it's awful quiet in here. Am I in America? What did he say? If we will humble ourselves, he'll do what? Who do you want to lift you up? By the way, I want this church to be lifted up. I can't do it. Listen, any hopes and dreams that I thought I was capable, that went away the first 2 weeks I was here. Y'all know what happened? Y'all heard the story. I sat down in that blue room, talked to all them deacons and pulpit committee, you know, I had all these answers, right? Y'all know what the truth was? Scared to death. Not only that, within 2 weeks, I had the stomach flu. I was laying over in my bed, wallowing around. I was going, oh, dear God, what did I get into? And I just thought, Lord, I tell you what, I look a whole lot different than I was sitting there in that blue room. But you know what? I learned this. That's where he wanted me. I learned something else. Laura and I, we struggled a little bit the first year here, just dealing with things. So we were struggling. And I'm going to be honest, in my mind and heart, I thought, she can't know that I'm weak. I've always, but I never pastored a church. So I'm trying to go on like nothing's wrong, but she knows something's wrong. I'm just being real quiet about it, but I'm just moving on. And finally one day, you know, I just had to set her down. I said, honey, I just want you to know something. I'm struggling here. She said, I'm finally glad you said it. She said, now some things make some sense to me. She said, I'm glad that you owned up to it. She says, now I have more confidence in you. See, the way up is down. He'll lift us up. By the way, the one time I've humbled myself, I've been full of pride 1,000 times, so I'm not bragging on myself. But I'm telling you, the answer to be lifted, to be blessed, to be successful, is to humble ourselves. God will. I want this church to be lifted up by God, not by our talents. Not by our ability. By the way, there's not one person here that can build this church. There's not one person that can make somebody get and come to this church. There's not one person in here, including me, that can save somebody. So we must realize we've got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift us up quickly. Write this one down. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:6, that's a powerful verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He knows the timing. By the way, that will help anyone here. If you have any thoughts of leading, I'm going to help everybody here now. Our country doesn't understand leadership anymore. But let me just say this. You will never lead until you learn how to follow. You will never lead like God wants you to lead unless you learn to follow. You must humble yourselves under the handy might, under the powerful, mighty hand of God. Here's what he says, and he'll exalt you in, key word there, y'all ready? Due time. That means his time. By the way, that's not our time, and he's always on time. So if you think he's too slow, no, he's on time, you're too fast. Someone told me years ago, oh, you could have pastored as soon as you got out of college. Look at me. That would have been a train wreck. Oh, Pastor, Brother Mark, you're older enough. Look at me. No, I'm going to tell you what. God wanted me to go and work for Pastor Altizer for 7.5 years. You know what I did for 7.5 years? Yes, sir. 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 However you want it, Pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There was one time, and I'm ashamed I bowed up on him. One time in 7.5 years. And I wish it would have never happened. And I'll never forget it. I preached down at a meeting down in Atlanta. Didn't think a thing about it. But I was preaching at that meeting. Some of you men came down there to hear me preach. And by the way, that spoke to those men down there. There was a group of men that loaded up in a van to come down there and hear their pastor preach in Atlanta. I don't know how many of those pastors that came to me and said, man, what a testimony. And so that's a testimony to the church. But let me just say this. I was down there, I'll never forget it. This man that I was preaching in his church, he had preached a revival at our church years ago. I didn't even really have any desires at that moment to even pastor. And I'll never forget what he said. He got up there behind a pulpit and he looked at me and he said, let me tell you something, young man. He said, if you ever want God to bless you, you just keep serving this pastor here. You just keep learning how to follow here. And he said, one day God will bless you with your own church. And so you know what? I never forgot that. So I got up there behind his pulpit and I turned around. I think I scared him a bit because turned around and looked at him. I said, brother, I just want you to know something. You're a prophet. His face turned as white as a sheet because he thought I was going to rib him in front of everybody. I'll be kind right there because he sure did me one time. But I said, hey, I want to tell you something. You're a prophet. I said, no, you're a prophet. I said, I don't think you ever remember it. But I said, you gave me some counsel one time when you was preaching our church years ago and I was serving as an assistant up there, Pastor Altizer. And you told me that if I just honor him, serve the Lord with my heart, that he'd bless me. And I said, brother, I just want you to know something. He just didn't bless me with the church. I said, praise God, he blessed me with the best one. There's where y'all shout. But it was in his due time. So all those people said, oh, you could have done that right out of school. No, wait a minute, his due time. See, sometimes we're trying to push our kids to be in places and it ain't God's time. No, let's teach them to be humble. Let's teach them to be a follower. Let's teach them to abide by the rules and the authority that God's put in their life. God will exalt them. This is powerful, church. Proverbs 29:23, write this one down. Proverbs 29:23, the book of Proverbs. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. There's that same thing again. Pride will bring nothing but low. It will bring nothing but low. It will bring us down. It will bring us low. It will disesteem us. Listen here. I don't want anybody here to be disesteemed. Everybody here should be living the kind of life where you're esteemed highly. But how do we get it? We've got to humble ourselves. By the way, it's a daily thing. Sometimes it's a minute-by-minute thing. Sometimes it's an hour-by-hour thing. The way up is down. God's way is us down, He will lift. Number two, humility is a characteristic of wisdom. Humility is a characteristic of wisdom. What does wisdom look like? What's it look like? Well, let's look, write this down, James 3.13, James 3.13. Who is a wise man? There's the question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Now, there's the qualifier. Who is this wise man? If there's somebody that's wise among you, who is it? What are they going to look like? Notice what God says. Here's what he says. Let him show out of a good conversation, which means the way he lives. Notice this. His works with meekness. You know what that word meekness means? It's controlled. In other words, you don't show everything you got. In other words, here's a beautiful picture of meekness now. Y'all help me. Jesus Christ created all, right? He was God, robed in the flesh. The very men that put him on the cross, he created them, correct? He could at any second took himself down off the cross. At any moment, he could have stopped everything that was going on. But here's what he did. He showed meekness. You know what? He could have changed something, but he didn't. He could have showed his power, but he didn't. And sometimes we like just to show our power and we think, well, boy, we showed them. But what did we gain? What did we gain? Let me tell you what we gained. Nothing. We lost. We lost. He says, what's a wise man look like? I'll tell you right now, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell him everything I know. We don't need to know everything you know. You know what we do? What he's saying here is a wise man's not someone that, you know, he's ready to bunk chest. And by the way, we live in this day, people are fiery, they're ready to go at it, but God says that's not his way. Who's a wise man and to do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness. It's controlled power. There's been times, no doubt, and I'll be honest, there's been times I've failed at this. There's been times I could make somebody feel like that. There's been times. Would have I been justified to do it? Maybe. This verse has always come across my mind because I'm going to be honest. There's been times that someone could have done this to me too and they chose not to. You know, now there has to come a time if somebody won't get it, more than likely you will have to make them feel like that. But someone that's just humble, you won't have to go that fast, that hard. They're going to get it. Look at this. Humility is a characteristic of wisdom. What's it look like? Control power, humble. It's humble. It's character. Look at this, Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. You show me a man that's humble, I'll show you a man that has wisdom. That he can subject his body to the authorities around him. He is completely controlled by the Spirit of God. And he says, I want to take my hands off of me and I want you to have full control of my life. There's a man or a woman that you need to get around because they will help you. Proverbs 11:2. Notice this, Romans 12:16. I'm talking about the characteristic of humility as a characteristic of wisdom. This is powerful. Romans 12:16. Listen to this. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. I love this phrase. But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know what that word condescend means? You know, I'm going to tell you something, and this is just, I'm just being honest. Here's a wise person. Let's say someone is, you know, Jesus Christ was the greatest picture of this. He was Almighty God. He was the elite of the elite, right? Who did he spend time with? You know what encourages me when I see one of you dear precious people going over here and grabbing one of these little children riding the bus, put your arms around them and condescend down to them. But you know some will never do that because right there, right now, just a kid. I'm going to go over here to my clique. All them just them little old kids. That, wait a minute, them little old kids is going to be the church when we're in heaven. Condescend. I like to see someone walk in here and they smell so bad, you can't only get around them. But you want to tell, I'm going to tell you, a person, a woman, or a man of wisdom, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll condescend to that person. That's wisdom. It's not. That's not wise. That's ungodly. That's not humility. That's pride. Well, they're not up on my level. Well, by the way, none of us are on Jesus' level. I'm sure glad he came down there to us. But boy, it's like hard to get some people, oh, I'm an elite pastor. I'm up here. Hey, I'm up here. And they're way down there. That's not a wise person. By the way, I'm going to devote most of my time from this point on with these young people. I'm just being honest with you. I'm going to try to be well-rounded and well-balanced, but I'm going to tell you something. This verse right here talks about condescending to the lowest there. That's wisdom, but that takes humility. You know why? You know why most people want to go to somebody? Because they know they can get something off of them. Some pastors, they never talk to their poor members. Why are they always around the middle class or the upper crust? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Their motive shows. Now, I'm going to show you a man of wisdom. Go down there with one of them little old children that can't give you a dime. And humble yourself up and invest in those children's lives. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't something we all look forward to doing. It takes humility, it takes a sacrifice, it takes time. But that's wise. That's wise. Humility is a characteristic of wisdom. Look at, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Let me, Romans 12, 6, let me give you two things here, how you can mark people. Y'all write these down. This is powerful now. This will help you. This isn't... traditional with me. It didn't start with me. This isn't mine. It's not originally with me, these two things, but I learned it. But I've learned through time it's true. You're going to find out what kind of people are when two things happen to them. You ready? Write them down. One, when they're given power, how they respond to it. You're going to find out whether that person's humble or not when they've been given power. If they feel like they've been given power and they're going to trample over everybody underneath them and they're not going to be kind, they're not going to be gracious, they're not going to be extending grace, I'm going to tell you something. You got somebody there that's full of themselves and full of pride and they don't know what the grace of God is and they do not know what humility is. If I had to get up here every day and tell y'all that I'm the pastor, I've already failed.
Well, here right now, you're going to do what I say. Well, I'll guarantee you ain't none of you going to stay. Beating people into subjection. That's not leading. Leading is
You stepping forward and people following you. So the leaders got to be humble. God, pray that the leaders stay humble. But number two, when they're given power. But number two, y'all ready? When they're corrected.
Well, you ain't going to tell me what to do.
Well, you've just learned what kind of a person you got there. By the way, correction, reproof is a way of life. Now, let me just say this. None of us like to be corrected. I don't like being corrected. I don't like being corrected in front of people or in private. But you know what? I need it. Because you know what? I can be wrong and have been many times. And I thank God that somebody's loved me enough to tell me. Now look, it takes love because if somebody's going to step on you that way, because they, look here, that's one reason why pastors usually don't deal with problems. Did you know why? They already know how that person's going to respond to it. See, that's why most churches today, they just let stuff go because they know that if they touch it, their church member's going to get mad. You know what they're going to do? They're going to leave. But you know what? Problems still have to be corrected. And listen, by the way, if someone's correcting your problem, it's not because they mean they love you. My wife's never come to me out of a spirit of haughtiness or pride and come to talk to me about something to set me straight that her heart wasn't that she loved me and she wanted better for me, but it didn't sound like that all the time, but I know her heart. So if someone comes to you and does something hard, by the way, agreeing with you when you're wrong is not hard. Agreeing with you when you're wrong or agreeing with me when I'm wrong, look at me. It's not hard. Doesn't offend me. It's not going to offend you. What's it going to happen when you disagree? But you know what that is? It's love. See, you got to teach your children that. I used to think my mom and dad, they used to spank me. And I hated that period of where they disciplined me. Because I thought my dad, if he whipped me, if my mom whipped me, I thought they were mad at me. I was a child. But you know, my mom and my dad, they constantly reinforced that. After the punishment was done, they took a little while, but either my mom, and usually it was my mom, she'd come up and she'd say, "Now, Mark, let me tell you, I whipped you because I do love you." She continued to reinforce that because what could happen is if you just whack around on your youngins and you discipline them all the time and you never explain to them why, then they are going to get a false sense of security. They are going to understand, they're not going to understand everything, and it could become a wedge in their life. But I never doubted my mom and my dad's love for me. But it took some time. And by the way, it didn't truly become completely understandable until I had my own. And all God's people say it. Amen. So all of you that haven't had children yet, just trust us. We're telling you the truth. We're not lying. It's hard to, look, when you become a parent, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. If you do it right, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's going to take time. 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 It's going to take more time. It's going to be telling them the same thing. I heard that. Did y'all catch the other day that Laura did all the discipline and I did all the training? Amen. Did y'all hear that? She did all the whipping. I didn't know. But no, listen. I did. I probably drove them nuts. I know I did. You know why? My dad did mine. He drove me on. He whipped me, and I was like, I'd rather my mom whip me. Because Dad would tell me 50 times, don't put your hands back there. You put your hands back there. I'm going to crack them too. You know, now we're in a day like, oh, that's child abuse. Well, I'm all right. I wish they'd bring that punishment back into the schools. These kids, I mean, look, people are afraid, scared to death of children today. And I'm not for whacking around on them all the time. But I'm going to tell you right now, they have a wheel, and you've got to help train and guide that wheel. But be wise about it. Power and reproof. Now, you mark her down. Y'all watch it. Y'all watch it. Y'all get a boss at work. They get promoted. Watch them now. If they take that liberty, just, hey, look, that's what you got. Same here. Anybody here is in a place of leadership, you ought to be humble. You ought to be ready to accept correction. You ought to be ready to lead by example. And you ought to be just as humble as any student in your class. Quickly, humility. I got to hurry. Humility is attractive. Humility is attractive. that is rewarding long term. Look at this, 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Let me read it real quick. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, ladies, I just happen to tell you, the context of this passage is he's dealing with ladies. You men are a bunch of wimps. You know, now, look, that's not preaching against, look at me, it's not preaching about getting their hair fixed. It's not preaching against them not wearing makeup. I'm for all of that. You know, in the 80s, they'd tease that hair, right? You know, now, you know, we do the straight things. Hey, but, and look, there's all, you know, now it's kind of funny because I'm not, I'll just leave that alone. But, you know, now on Facebook, we're getting tutorials and all this stuff, right? Prettying ourselves up and all this. We have a lady back, and I'll just stop right there. And so, but anyway, I'm not against it. That's not what he's talking about. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. For a lady, you might be beautiful on the outside, but I'm going to tell you what is real attractive is when you're humble inside. When you're humble inside. That's beautiful. It's attractive. It will be the most attractive thing of you to your husband. It's the most attractive thing in the sight of the Lord. Because, you know, I'm going to be honest, my wife's beautiful, but if I couldn't stand to live with her. Come on, y'all help me. I mean, if I couldn't stand to live with her, I mean, I'm glad she lives the kind of life that I actually want to come home. I'm not like... You know what? That beautiful hair and beautiful face, beautiful lips, that stuff runs out when they're ugly inside. So let me help every mom here that's got a daughter or a granddaughter work on the inside more than the outside. It will serve their husband, their companion much better. It's so much more attractive. Quickly, humility is attractive. I think I've only got one more and all of y'all are saying, praise the Lord. No, I've actually got two more. I'll hurry. Humility brings honor. Write it down, Proverbs 18:12. Notice this, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. If someone's going to be honored, there's going to be humility there. Proverbs 18:12. Look, write this down, Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. There it is again. If you want to be honored, if you want your children to be honored, if you want your grandchildren to be honored, they're not going to be honored. Can I just say this too? Y'all know this is true, and I'm going to just say what some people won't say. Do you know that I cringe when I see some children come in my presence? You say, Pastor, you really going to say it? Yeah, I'm really going to say it. There are some children that are so unruly and won't listen to one word anyone says. How in the world can they be honored? I watched a child, I mean, haul off, I mean, double up, bald fists and everything, just go and waylay his grandma on the belly one day. She laughed about it. I had to leave the building. Because I'm sitting there thinking, you laughed about it. That ain't funny. It was like every day for him. She laughed about it. And I said, this ain't funny. I'm going to tell you right now, unless something happens in that little boy's life, he's not a little boy anymore, he'll never be honored. Because God says that before there's honor, before someone's going to be honored, there has to be humility there. And there was a golden opportunity to teach some there. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Write it down, Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. What else do you want your child to have? I mean, what else is there? Riches, hey, notice, there it is, riches, honor, and life. I mean, what else do we want them to have? How do you get it? They got to be humble. quickly as I close. Humility is the first prescription to bring healing and help. Write it down. Humility is the first prescription to bring healing and help. Y'all all know this verse, but write it down. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, didn't say the world, didn't say CNN, didn't say our government, didn't say the liberals, didn't say every other movement under the sun. He only said, if my people, which are called by my name. We're Christians. We're called by his name. Notice the very first thing, before he said to pray, before he said to seek my face, before he said to turn from their wicked way, and before he said he would hear them and heal their land, there's one thing that has to be done before any of those other things are even desired to do. We must want it. We got to know we need it. But that's not our way. We'll fight to the end and say, I'm all right, I'm not in trouble. Destruction. If you want help, if you want healing, do you know that there's going to be a lot of marriages divorce and crumble and fail because they're too full of pride to humble themselves and say, you know what, we need help. You can't get it if you don't think you need it. If you don't think there's a problem and there is a problem, doesn't matter. We can't be healed or restored or fixed if we're too proud to say, God, it's me. So why do we look at that like it's weak? God says it's the first prescription to get help, to get healing. Our country of God's people, we're called by his name, will what? Humble themselves. God, we need you. How many of y'all agree today that we need him? We're in a church, listen to me, we are in a mess. I can't imagine how fast that our society has fast-tracked in the last 15 years. What our children are going to have to deal with. But listen to me, there is a prescription. If God's people, my people, will just humble themselves, there's the first part. Because you know what? If we don't humble ourselves, we won't pray, we won't seek him, we won't turn from our wicked ways. So we've got to humble. That's the first prescription of any hurt, any healing to come. Quickly, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrite do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Write that down. Matthew 6:2. He's dealing with, look, these people that were spending all this money, you know what they were doing? They wanted everybody in that church, they wanted everybody in that synagogue to see them. Hey, y'all, look at me. They pulled out their big wallets, their big pocketbooks, man. They was putting all the pam, slamming the coins down in there, and everybody's like, look at them. Look how spiritual they are. Look how much they're giving. By the way, you can't always judge someone's spirituality by how much they give. And all God's people said. But they sure thought it was a big deal because, boy, they was making this big deal about it. This, oh, everybody's going to see me. Say, hey, wait a minute now. Let's blow these. Hey, see me. But here's the problem. There was no help there. You know what? Because they were the ones in trouble. God said they're the ones that are in trouble. They're giving the biggest offers, but their motive was wrong, Brother Don. And he said they're the ones wrong. They're playing an act. And by the way, our church does not need to play an act. Be real. Be humble. And then I'm going to close. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. I love that. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. That verse just right there taught me something. As I was studying for this passage, I already knew it, but here's what. You ever just try to talk to people and they just don't ever get it? I mean, it's not that they don't hear it. They hear it all the time. It's just like they're just not getting it. It's like they're stuck. They're just not going on in their Christian life. They're just not maturing in the Lord. This verse tells us why. Because he says only the meek will learn his way. Only the meek will allow him to instruct them in a way. Every service we come to this church, every time the Bible is open, every time we sit down to read our devotions, we ought to realize that that is the very words of God speaking to our hearts. And we ought to be completely open, broken, tender, and completely pliable to what God wants for us. But it takes complete humility. But I'll tell you who will get God's work done, the humble. The Lord would just say it and say, okay. I want you to do this. Okay. Well, I want you to do, okay. As you read the Bible and he speaks to you and he says, oh, well, you see that? And you say, oh, okay. Now, God, I don't completely understand this, but okay. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to obey you. I'd love for our children to deal with us like we do God. Could you imagine telling your children every day, clean your room, 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 and they never do it? How long would that last? Have you ever thought about this? Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we read the Word of God, he's telling us there's something. You know what we do? We don't do it. Let's be humble, because the humble will be taught his way. Humility is the key to combat pride and being cast down. Let's stand to our feet.